For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our what? Weaknesses, but was in all points in everything tempted as we are, yet without sin.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Friday and welcome back to Love Never Fails. Pastor Bill continues his study of the New Testament epistle of Hebrews today. You know, sometimes we think of God as distant, but what if He's closer than we imagine? And what if we have direct access to His throne? In the first part of Pastor's message, we'll see how, as believers, we have direct access to His throne. So now, Pastor, with today's study, the throne of grace.
Hebrews. Let's go back and just a quick review about this great letter. Remember that the book of Hebrews, the writer is anonymous. I believe it to be Paul the Apostle, of course. It's the only book in the Bible that calls Jesus our great high priest and mentions also the throne of grace. Remember why it was written. It was written to Jewish believers before the temple was destroyed, while daily sacrifices were still going on. And these Jewish believers now trusted in Christ. And so their whole world was turned upside down. And they were being pulled in different directions because of Judaism and because of the persecution that they were enduring. So the writer of this letter, he calls this little letter, not a sermon now, this is a letter. In Hebrews 13:22, he calls it a letter of exhortation, a letter of encouragement. He was written not to discourage the Jewish believers, but to encourage them to press on and to finish running the race of faith. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, remember the last time we closed out and we discovered why the children of Israel, the first generation, were not able to enter into the land of promise, the Canaan land. And it was because of a heart issue, remember? Now, with all that being said, let's put on a Jewish mindset one more time this morning, because just in review, so we'll make sure we're thinking correctly because we're Gentiles. I want you to think about this. For the first time, now we go back to the first century, okay? For the first time in 1500 years, the Word of God was teaching that the high priest was nothing anymore, the earthly high priest. Matter of fact, you didn't even need a high priest on earth. And matter of fact, you did never to bring an offering again. You didn't have to bring a sacrifice to the temple because the final sacrifice was the Lamb of God. Amen? Now, do you see how that could have affected their minds? Especially when they started thinking about Jesus being the great high priest, because nowhere in the entire Bible does a priest come from the line of Judah, which the Lord is from the line of Judah. The Aaronic priesthood that God created came from Aaron's family. Amen? Okay, so you see how they were thinking about all of this. And they were confused and trying to say, okay, what does this really mean? And also remember the three pillars of Judaism, okay? You have, of course, you have Moses, you have angels, and then the Levitical priesthood. Now, we know that Jesus is better. He's better than anything, amen? So we're really going to be covering the priesthood of the Lord all the way through now, basically to the end of chapter 10. Now, with all that being said, this morning we're going to look at the throne of grace, and we have a great high priest, amen? Now, let's begin in verse 14. Seeing then that we have, I love that word, we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. Now listen carefully. The power in that one word, that one Greek word, have, it's powerful, loved one. Listen, it means to own, it means to possess, it means to have, it means a continued possession. The word have, boy, it means that we own something. Like if you have a home, you say, I have a home. How did you get here? Well, I have a car. Did you buy gas? Yes, because I have money. You own it. Well, here, we, if you truly believe it, and I do, we have the greatest possession in the entire universe, loved one. And there is only one. He is ours. We are his, and we are one with Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a great high priest. So from verse 14 all the way and following, especially through chapter 7 and so forth, the Levitical priesthood, the high priest of Jesus, he's superior to all of it. And the writer has already proven, he's already proven to us that Jesus is better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. He's better than Moses. Amen. He's better than Joshua. And now he is better than Aaron. He is better than the first high priest of Israel. Very, very important. Our forerunner, Jesus our Lord, who's in heaven for us right now, he did what Moses and Joshua and Aaron and all the rest of them could never do. He entered heaven for us. Amen? Now listen, we have right now, listen to me, I want to put a thought in your heart because I believe with all of my heart this morning God wants to touch some of us, maybe all of us. The throne of grace really is real. No, it is real. There really is a throne or the throne of grace. And Jesus our Lord, we have a great high priest. And what has he done? He has passed through the heavens. I wish I had time for us to just say, you know, we're going to stop right here and we're going to go to the great 16th chapter of Leviticus, the day, of course, of atonement, the Yom Kippur, if you will, and so forth. That special day where the high priest of Israel, he made a sacrifice for himself, remember, his own sins. Then he made a sacrifice for the sins of the people. He would then pass through the outer courts. He'd come to the holy place. He would wash and so forth. He would take off garments and put his priestly. It was amazing, the ritual in Leviticus 16. And then he would take the blood of the sacrifice and he would go behind the veil and he had to sprinkle the Ark of the Covenant or the mercy seat where the Shekinah glory of God was. He could only be there for just a few minutes. Do you understand? He didn't linger. There was no chair there or any of those things because his work was never, never done. Why? Because, loved one, the priesthood then was not perfect. And not only that, the sacrifice was not perfect. Hebrews 10:4, the blood of bull and goats, it's impossible. It will never take away our sin. Amen? But see, the problem is the Jew, they understood that year after year after year, they would bring the sacrifices on that day. And so they could be atoned for one more year. We can say that our sins have been permanently removed because Jesus took them. Amen? He paid for them. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:26, for such a high priest, meaning Jesus, was fitting for us. He is holy. He's harmless. He's undefiled. He's separate from sinners as has become higher than the heavens. Here it comes. But him, our great high priest, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once and for all, he offered up himself. Listen to me, Jesus passed through the heavens. Why? He was number one, the perfect sacrifice. And number two, right now, he is our perfect high priest. Amen. It says in Hebrews 1:3, it tells us this, when Jesus, it says by himself, alone, by himself, he purged, he cleansed our sins. And that was on earth, remember? He cleansed our sins on earth, on the cross. And then he sat down at the right hand of majesty upon high, meaning in heaven, talking about the Lord's redemptive work for us. Jesus accomplished for man, for you, for me, what no one else could achieve. The one who knew no sin completely cleansed our sin. Completely the sin of the world. And by himself, listen now, he was both the sacrifice and the sacrificer, meaning the high priest. Amen. Amazing what our Lord has done. And when he sat down, that meant in heaven, because the earthly high priest could never sit down. There was not a chair in the Holy of Holies. His work was never done. Jesus sat down. Why? Because our sin, the sin debt of the world, our sin was paid for, completely paid for. And listen, when he sat down, he doesn't ever have to do that again. Amen? That's right. When Jesus said, it is finished, it is stands finished, it will always be finished. Now, so we have a great high priest that has passed through the heavens. Now, what does that really mean? I mean, we just read that and go, okay, he just passed through the heavens. Well, that's deeper than we can understand, isn't it? The first heaven, Paul speaks of three heavens, remember? So the first heaven we know happens to be our what we see, our atmosphere. You know, if you're sitting outside on a lovely evening, you look up, that's all you see. You don't see, you know, everything else. And then the second area, that's what we call the second atmosphere, or heaven would be, outer space, right? And some of us live like we are in outer space. I don't know. And then the third place would be what we call where Paul went, heaven, where he saw things that it was unlawful for him to even discuss with us and tell us all about. So the Jewish high priest, remember, the earthly high priest, he entered the Holy of Holies, like I said a moment ago. He did so just for a few minutes, and man, he got out of there. He was hoping he didn't die. Do you understand? Yeah. Matter of fact, they put bells on the bottom of his robes, tied rope to his leg in case they didn't hear those bells going off. They knew he was dead. They'd drag him out. Now, but our great high priest, man, listen, he passed through the heavens. But the earthly priest, what did he do when he went in there? He had to sprinkle the earthly high priest on that day. He had to sprinkle the Ark of the Covenant seven times for it to be complete there on the mercy seat upon the Holy of Holies. What did Jesus do, our great high priest, when he left the earth, ascended to heaven, and sat down at the right hand of God? Before he sat down, what did he do? Let me tell you what the Bible says he did. It says in Hebrews 9:11, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Jesus entered into the true temple in heaven. And it says he came not with the blood of goats and calves or bulls, but with his own blood. His own blood. Oh, we'll stop right there. Whenever they killed a lamb or a goat or a bull, whatever, and they slit its throat, did blood come out? Did they take real blood and sprinkle it? Everything in the tabernacle had to be sprinkled with blood. Amen? Okay, the mercy seat and the Holy of Holies, all of those. And so if that was real blood, Jesus' blood was real. It's not some symbolism. It's literal. In other words, he did not come with the blood of bull and goats, but with his own blood in heaven, he entered the holy place, the Holy of Holies. And what did he do? He poured out his blood there behind the veil, there on the true mercy seat, on the true Ark of Covenant. What was in the Ark of the Covenant? The Ten Commandments, amen? The law that we have broken, Aaron's rod that budded, meaning the authority we despised. And not only that, that golden pot of manna, the provision of God, that man said, what is this? We don't want it. We want the food of Egypt. Remember? Now, when he poured that blood out over all of that, everything was totally, completely finished. Why? Because it says when he sat down once and for all, never to be repeated again, he obtained, it says there in this scripture I'm reading, eternal redemption. We have been, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord, you are not halfway saved. You're not just, well, I'm saved for a little while. You have been eternally redeemed or purchased by God Almighty. You belong to Him, and no one can break that, and no one can take Him out of your hand. Do you understand? No one. Man, I say, dear God. It says in Hebrews 9:24, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands here upon this planet, which are copies of the true. See, everything on earth was just copies. Now, but in heaven, it says he entered himself to appear in the presence of God for me, for you. Praise the Lord. He is there for us right now. Now listen, passing through the heavens did not make Jesus great. He did not make him the great high priest. He's already great. Amen. Jesus is not the son of Aaron. What does it say in verse 14 again? It says Jesus is the son of God. He's the son of God. The Bible tells us in what? Hebrews 1:2. In these last days, God has spoken by his son. God says, hear ye him. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So here, Jesus, it speaks of his what? His humanity. And then Christ speaks of his deity. He is the God-man, if you will. Now, look at it. The last part of verse 14. He says, now, let us hold fast to the Jew and for us as well. Let us hold fast our confession, meaning our confession regarding our great high priest, which is Jesus the Messiah. Let us is mentioned, that word, those two words, 13 times in Hebrews. And it means to keep holding. Hold on with all of your heart. It literally means to cling tightly, to seize with all of our strength. Why? Man, listen, Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our great high priest. He really did purge our sins. He really did sit down at the right hand of God on the majesty of high. He is there right now for you and for me. And you know what he's doing? Let me give you the scripture in Hebrews 7:25. Remember, I think before those scriptures, before the verse, it says, Jesus is the guarantee of a better covenant based on better promises, and he continues forever. His priesthood is unchangeable. And then it says in verse 25, it says, therefore, because of what I just said, he is also to save to the uttermost. What does that mean, uttermost? It means for completion. It means completely save you. It means to completely save you forever and ever and ever. He's in heaven for us right now to save to the uttermost those, that's you, that's me, who come to God through Jesus, since he always, always lives to make intercession for them. I want you to really think about verse 15. You know, yesterday when I was preparing this message, I want to read exactly what I wrote before I read verse 15. I said this. I said, may the God of all grace, may the God of all peace, the God of all comfort, the God of all mercy, give us insight into the glory of what is being offered in these words in verse 15. Look at this. For we do not, that's a double negative in the Greek. We do not, we do not, we do not what? We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our what? Weaknesses. But was in all points, in everything, all things, tempted as we are, yet without sin. Yet without sin. Now, did Jesus suffer from human weakness? Yes. Did he hunger? Did he thirst? Did he grow weary? Absolutely. But here's the deal. He had no sin. There was no latent sin in our Lord, which meant that temptation could stir up. He could be tempted, but it wouldn't stir up sin because there was no sin in him. And I'm going, oh, Lord, Jesus was sinless and is still sinless in a world that is flooded and filled with sin. Oh, that is our Savior. Listen, our great high priest, this great verse, verse 15, he enters into our weaknesses. That is deeper than I know how to teach, loved one. And he does something. He makes them his own. They're real to him. See, it's not that he has knowledge of it. He does. But it's more than knowledge. He feels it. He feels what you're feeling. We are his body. Are you with me? See, how do you teach something like this? See, the word sympathize in the Greek here, it literally means this, to suffer along with. It's used in the Greek language, it's used of a mother who, of course, loves her child and is bonded with her child or children. And when they hurt, does she hurt? Of course she does. What kind of weaknesses are we talking about? We're talking about all weaknesses. Anything, any human limitation. You know, when we're tempted to sin or something's trying to snatch us out of his hand, no, he feels, he understands all of those things. And listen, this weakness is not the emotion of pity. That's not what he's saying here. You got to get this. Listen, he feels it with us. He feels everything you're feeling. Let me give you a perfect example. Thank you, Lord. In Acts chapter 8 and 9. Remember on the road to Damascus. Okay. Remember what happened when he was saved. And what did Jesus, the resurrected, ascended Lord who appeared to Paul and led Paul to him, saved him, commissioned him. What did he say? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who was Paul persecuting? He was persecuting the church. He was like a wild animal, locking them, putting them in prison and all the rest. Amen? See, Jesus, when we're persecuted, When we are hurting, when we are sick, when we are lonely, when we are bitter, when we are without hope, He feels it. He knows it. He cares. This scripture is so deep, I tell you. It says in Hebrews 2:18 about our merciful and faithful great high priest, it says, "For in that He Himself has suffered." He became a man for you and for me, the God-man. It says He has suffered being tempted or tested for us. Listen here. It says, then He is able to aid those who are tempted. What does that mean, Jesus is able to aid? It means literally to run to the cry of a child to bring help when it's needed. I have learned slowly that Jesus is with me in every dark minute. Jesus is with me. He is with you in every test, in every temptation that we face. And I realize now that He faces it with me. He faces it with you. Why? Not because He's God. No, but because He became a man. He lived as a man. And He defeated the devil as a man. And He, there in the temptation scene, what did Jesus tell the devil in Matthew 4:4? "Man shall not live by bread alone." And Jesus was hungry. He hadn't had any food in 40 days. He was hungry. Matter of fact, if you look that word up in the Greek, he was starving. And He says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, Satan, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And He defeated the wicked one right there for you and for me. Now listen to me. Only in Christ, or only by our great high priest, only in Him is found perfect sympathy. Does that make sense? No one else. I mean, people can sympathize with you, but Jesus, He's entered into it. In other words, Jesus, He feels our weakness. And our great high priest, oh, loved one, listen, He cares for us. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. When you're lonely, have you ever felt lonely? I mean lonely. You're around people that love you, but you feel lonely. You're in a crowd at the church, and you're saying hallelujah around, but inside you're lonely. He feels that. He knows that. And He wants to help you with that. He is our great high priest. Nothing in human experience is foreign to Jesus our Lord, except one thing: sin. Amen. He had no part of sin. He understands sin better than any person on this planet, loved one. Listen, He knows why a person tells a lie. He knows why. He knows before the lie is getting perceived from someone's mouth. He knows it's coming, and He knows why it's coming. He knows the fear that's producing that lie. Are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we all tell lies. All right, let me give you a perfect example. Your wife comes to you. "Does this dress I'm wearing make me look fat?" "No, baby, you look great." You know, you want me to go to that divorce court? What do you say? You know what I mean. Listen, Jesus knows everything. He knows. Loved one, He knows why you want to give up. He knows when you want to give up. He knows why Christians take their lives. They don't give up on Jesus. They give up on living life. Oh, listen, Jesus, He knows everything, and He experienced every temptation to the very maximum, and He did it as man. Never say, "Oh, it was easier for Jesus. Jesus is God." Don't ever say that. That is wrong. You didn't taste the full extent of death. You didn't bear the sins of the entire mankind. Are you following me? No. Jesus, He was sinless, yes, but it was because He did not sin that He was tempted to the max. He was tempted with the full force. We're not, to the full extent, and He did not sin. You see, I don't know about you, but do you know that Christians need help to resist temptation?
As we close today, let me encourage you to take your burdens, temptations, or whatever you might be facing to the throne of grace. There, you will receive God's mercy and find grace in your time of need. Amen? Thanks for listening today, and we hope to see you once again on Monday when Pastor will conclude today's study. God bless, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.